indeed grateful for the presence of everyone in the service today. I'm glad that you're here. As you recall, in the paper and in the, well, television, the end of time was supposed to have come yesterday. A pseudo-prophet, I don't remember his name, but he had a lot of people disturbed, just like William Miller did back 100 years ago, claiming to know when the Lord would come again. Of course, none of us know that. We're honored today to have Brother Mike Richardson with us. And as I told the class, Mike is from the Nashville area, good friend of mine. We've known one another for several years, and we're just delighted to have Mike and Mary with us. You know, I was talking to Mary yesterday. I asked her where she's from. She said, I'm from Birmingham. She said, I have a twin sister. And she says our name, a maiden name was Yates, and said when we were growing up, they couldn't differentiate between me and my sister, and so they called us the Yates girls. I said, you ought to feel at home at West Boonville because we have a few Yates around here. And so we're just glad that Mary has come with him and we have Mike, and we anticipate another fine lesson from the Word of God as he did in the morning class. Mike, it's yours.
It'd be unkind on my part if I didn't take just a moment to express my appreciation for the opportunity to be with you. I thank the elders for the invitation. Enjoyed getting to spend some time with Brother Ward, and Brother Hoagland has helped out a lot of young preachers, and have a lot of respect for him and appreciate his stand for the truth. In just a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Larry has suggested. And if you've not been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, all things have been made ready and are convenient where you can confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and upon your confession be buried with him in the grave of baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, be added to the family of God. In the Ephesian letter, in the second chapter, we read just a moment ago from verses 4 to 10, and I'd like for just a moment to go down and read verses 8 through 10 just to get it fresh upon our mind. In verse 8, the Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I remember my grandmother one time telling me that when she grew up in a little old congregation outside of Nashville, that you would hear a preacher come by, and oftentimes the subject he would deliver would be on hellfire. And she said sometime when they would get done delivering that lesson, that you would just feel like hiding under a pew, because you recognize the fear of that place. And I recognize that in our day and time, we've gotten away from that kind of preaching. I believe in the reality of hell. I believe the devil to be real. I believe hell to be eternal. And so I believe we need to continue that kind of preaching, lest we become people who do not believe what the inspired Word has declared. But I've also thought about the fact that I've heard very few lessons on the grace of God. And I've often thought about what we need to learn is the amazing grace of God. So I asked a question to myself, why are we afraid to preach about the grace of God? And I'd like to mention several things that I think we might fear, and then ask, is that really something that should put fear in our heart? The first thing I want you to think about when you read your Bible, and you think about why are we afraid of grace, could it be because some of us who preach are afraid that someone will call us soft? You know, in preaching, many times you'll find that there are others, and what they want to do is criticize or find something in your preaching so that they may call you soft and not sound on an issue. But I want you to take your Bible for just a moment and look with me at three people and let us ask if they were soft on the preaching of the grace of God. If you have your Bible, look what the Apostle Paul said in the Ephesian letter chapter 2 that we just read in verse 8. When he said, "For by grace you've been saved through faith." Now I want you to read the writings of Paul. And you think about how Paul rebuked the church at Corinth. You think about the stand that Paul took when he was at Philippi. You think about when he was at Lystra that they drug him out and stoned him and left him for dead. And I want to raise the question, do you think Paul would be declared a soft preacher? And yet in the Scripture, Paul said, one is saved by grace through faith. Now, I want you to recognize I said by through faith. I'm not talking about grace only, but I want us to realize that it is a gift of God. Grace being that which is unmerited, a favor that is not deserved. But yet it is something that man needs. But if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter and the first chapter. And when you come to 1 Peter and the first chapter, I want you to read with me what Peter had to say in verse 10. And when he said, of this salvation, the prophets of this Lord, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Now, if you have your Bible, look at that word grace again. Notice the Apostle Paul brings to the mind of the people at that time that even the Old Testament prophesied about the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, the Chosen One, the Anointed One. And he talked about the grace of God. Now, there was grace shown in Old Testament time, favor that was not deserved. And yet in New Testament day, we live under a covenant. And we recognize that salvation is by grace. It's by God's unmerited favor. But then if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of James and the fourth chapter. And when you come to the book of James in the fourth chapter, you'll find that this man of God, as he's writing, he too has something to say about grace. In James chapter 4, look with me at verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I want you to note that all three men, when they spoke about Christ, they spoke about the grace of God. So I want to know, my friend, would you look at a man like Peter? Would you look at a man like Paul? Would you look at someone like James and say they're soft on the issue? Because all three of them took a stand and said, we are saved by the grace of God. Now, James says that we'll show our faith by our works. But that's not how we're saved. We're saved by faith and we're saved by grace. Our faith that God will do what he said he would do. So in our study, I want us to eliminate that one line of thought. If some man gets up and he proclaims the gospel of Christ, and he preaches grace through faith, that obedience will follow, and that man will go forth and do good works to show his faith in Christ. Have you ever thought, my friend, there's no other way to show you're a Christian except by your works? That's why faith without works is dead. I can proclaim many things, but if I don't go forth and show that, then, my friend, people do not know that I am who I proclaim to be. But the second thing I think about sometimes is, I think sometimes people are afraid of the grace of God because they're afraid that God it won't forgive them. I've come across some people in my time and they've said, you know, Brother Richardson, we have done some things and we're just so ashamed. And if you knew what I have done, you would think, no, that God would not forgive me. Now, I'll tell you, it's none of my business what someone's done. But I know one thing in the life of all of us. There are some things that we can think back and we can cringe over saying, how could I have ever done it? How could I have said that? How could I have thought that? How could I have done that and brought shame upon myself, brought pain to someone else? But you know, my friend, we need to learn not to limit God. In your Bible, when you read about God, I want you to take note that He is able to blot out sin. In your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the second chapter, when the very people who'd put Jesus to death was standing before Peter and the 11, and they preached unto him the gospel of Christ. Have you ever thought that in the proclamation of the gospel that those individuals came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and they were baptized into Christ? Now, someone might say, oh, they couldn't be forgiven. They murdered the very Son of God. I want to tell you, they were forgiven. Have you ever thought about the grace of God? In your Bible, you'll remember in 1 John 1 and verse 7 that it talks about that if we say that, in verse 8, it says that if we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. And then he goes on to say that if we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar. But you come down and notice what he says in 1 John 1. He said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Have you ever thought, my friend, that there's no sin that God cannot forgive? Now, sometimes brethren may have trouble forgiving you. Sometimes people in the world may not forgive you, and they'll want to bring it up. But one thing I'm grateful for is that when God forgives, He blots it out. He remembers it no more. He says your sin is as far as the east is from the west. He says it's buried in the depths of the sea. He said it's tossed behind my back. Do you believe that God can't forgive your sin? You know what I think sometimes we get confused with? We confuse forgiveness of self with God's forgiveness. I may have a hard time forgiving myself of something, but one thing I need to learn is God will forgive if I truly repent. Or if I come to Him and I need to become a child of God. Have you ever thought that when one is lowered into the grave of baptism and they're raised out of that grave, that is an act of faith and God's grace is what takes away the sin? If someone came up out of the water and they beat their chest and said, look what I've done, you've not done anything except by faith, except God's invitation to become part of His family. It's by His grace, His mercy, and His power that sin is blotted out. So I think many times we're afraid of the grace of God because we have in our mind that God could not forgive me. And I want to tell you, my friend, that is not right. But that brings up a third thought in our study. And it's one that I'm fear that a lot of people have. I think that a lot of people are afraid of the grace of God because they're afraid it won't motivate people. It won't motivate people to become children of God, and it won't motivate people to continue to walk with God. But I beg to differ with that view. If you have your Bible, look with me in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. And when you come to the 1 Corinthian letter and the 15th division, look at verse 10. And notice what Paul said. The man who at one time persecuted the church of the Lord, now had been converted to Christ, had changed. And look at what he says. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Now then, my friend, I want you to think about what was it that motivated Paul? What was it that motivated that man to become a disciple of Christ? In your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the 22nd chapter, when Paul is giving the account of his conversion, he talked about how Ananias came to him and said, Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sin. You know what I think sometimes? I've seen a lot of people who've become Christian because they fear hellfire. But you know what I've noticed about those people? They don't continue in the faith very long. Now, some might. But I want to tell you, if your motivation for coming to service is a duty to be performed just so you think God won't throw you into hell, you've missed the entire thought of Christianity. Fear of hell is a motivation, but I want to tell you what a greater motivation is grace. And love. If I love Jesus Christ, if I love Him and want to be His disciple, then I will come and my attitude will be completely different. The ones who truly love the Christ, the Son of God, are the ones who continue to walk with Him. Now you think about it. Some of you have been here and you've been married many, many years. And you may look back and think about when you first met your spouse. And you thought about, oh, how pretty they are, or how good looking they are. And now, 30 years later, you look at them, and they wake up and there's a little bit of drool coming out of their mouth and you're saying, what was I thinking? And they wake up and look at you and say the same thing. But you know what has happened over the years? That love has grown. And you can tell someone who's been married a long time how deep their love is for their spouse. And you know, we want to know more about them. We want to talk to them. And I want to tell you, we ought to be like that with the Lord. We want to know more about Jesus. There's some people, they say, oh, I'm not going to be back Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, I tell you, people are going to do what they want to do. And there's no need for me to try and make you feel guilty about it. But I'll tell you one thing. If you truly love Him, you'll want to know more about Him. And you'll want to worship Him. And if He is our Savior, as we proclaim and as Scripture reveals, and if He is the groom and we are the bride, we should want to spend as much time about Him as we can. But that brought up another thought in my study. I thought, well, maybe since some are maybe afraid of the grace of God because they're afraid they'll be called soft, and some may be afraid of the grace of God because they're afraid God won't forgive, and then if some may be afraid of the grace of God because it won't motivate people to obey, I then begin to think about that some may be afraid of the grace of God because they're afraid members won't work as they should. But if you go back, you'll note Paul dealt with that in the very verse we just read in 1 Corinthians 15. And look at verse 10 again when he said, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, my friend, if you're motivated by guilt and fear to work, you'll do something, but you don't do it with your heart. And you're going to do just as little to hit the road and get out. But if you're more motivated by grace and love, seeing what God has offered you through the sacrifice of His Son, seeing that the blood was shed for your sins, and noticing the fact that He is the one to make the first move that you may be redeemed from your sin, that should make one want to go out and glorify Him. What was it Jesus said in Matthew 5:16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, my friend, when you and I go out, we ought to be the shining light in a dark world. And you know what should motivate me is to see that God came to this earth and He was flesh and He died for me. In the letter of Philippians chapter 2, it talked about how He left the glory of heaven and He took upon Himself the form of a bondservant and He made Himself of no reputation. You know what I fear sometimes? We worry more about what other people think about us than what we truly are. Oh, we hide behind masks. We act like we're doing one thing, but we know that inside we're struggling. And I want to tell you what we need to learn to do is be people that can help one another. And we'll work for God's cause. But then I want you to think of something else. I think that some people are afraid of the grace of God because they're afraid it will give a license to sin. But Paul dealt with that in a very clear manner. Open your Bible kindly to the book of 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter. And when you come to 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, notice with me if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians and look at what he has to say about people in verse 9 who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now notice what he said. You recognize that the people who are unrighteous, they're not going to have that eternal reward. He said, but you've changed. Look at what he says in verse 11. That's what you were, but now you've been washed, you've been sanctified, set apart, you've been justified. Therefore, you're not going to continue down that road. Then, if you have your Bible, go to the Roman letter in the 6th chapter. And look at what Paul said in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He who died to sin shall live any longer in it. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now notice what he said in 1 Corinthians 6 and Romans 6. You were dead to it, you stay that way. You now live for Christ. You've been risen to a new purpose. And you do not continue in sin that grace may abound. He said, God forbid. If you're a Christian and a child of God, you're not going to want to go contrary to God's standard. Because that's not reciprocating love, that's defying God. But then if you have your Bible, I want to bring out one last point in the lesson's yours. In your Bible, in the Ephesian letter, we read where he said we're saved by grace. But you know what I believe that a lot of people are fearful of? They're fearful that if we leave the impression that we are saved by grace through faith, that doesn't spell everything out. You know, there are some people today, just like they were in Bible days, the Pharisee in Luke 18. They want all the rules written down. And yet, I'll tell you, it's a danger when man starts setting the standard instead of God's Word. And you know what I've come to think? I've come to think that there's going to be some things I'm going to have to make my own thought about. Now, when it comes to a doctrinal issue, I believe that we need to stand on the Scripture and stand firm. But you know, when there are some things that may be up to a man's judgment, we ought not to divide a church, or we ought not to make a creed just so we can say we're all united. There are going to be some people who may think one thing's fine and another people think it's not fine. I'll never forget when I was preaching in Columbia, Tennessee, there was an elder there who I loved greatly. And he would not allow a pack of cards to come into his house. If it was rook, anything, he said he thought it was a sin. But you know one thing that man never did? He never did get up and bind it. Now, I may have a conviction on something. And I may have a thought or a particular view. But you know, my friend, if it's not in Scripture, but just something I don't feel comfortable with, we need to learn not to bind it, but we hold true to our own conviction. Are we afraid of the grace of God? Are you afraid? One thing I've heard a lot of people say to me, as you know, I would become a Christian, but I don't think I could live the life like I should. Who has? Have we not all stumbled after we've put on Christ? But isn't that what John was writing when he said, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin? And the more we grow to love Christ, the less we'll have the desire to go against His will. Are we afraid of grace, or will we accept His grace? Will we accept being added to the family of God? If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you'll do so.